This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Welcome to another episode of Playing with Squirrels, a Boy Meets World podcast. I am sitting here with Jen, one of the co-hosts of the unbelievably popular 7 of Wine podcast. The only podcast that's giving my podcast, Horror Movie Night, a run for its money at the Geekscape Network. I will be fighting Jen immediately after the recording of this episode for podcast supremacy. But in the meantime, we're going to pretend that we're friends and we're going to talk about episode 3 of season 1 of Boy Meets World, Father Knows Less.
Sure. Let's enjoy our last few minutes of friendship before one of us dies.
This debuted on October 8th, 1993, which I was 7 or 8 when this came out.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
So I remember seeing these live for the most part, but...
Wait, you don't mean live tapings. You mean like when they... Oh, you mean when they aired.
Yeah, I watched them as they aired. So you had asked me while we were walking over to the booth. I guess we should mention that. We're at San Diego Comic-Con.
We're at Comic-Con.
So as listeners know, I record these well in advance whenever I can get a chance to sit down. You asked why I was doing this podcast, and I think a big element of it is...
Wait, do it the way I did it, which was, why are you doing this?
So, for me, and while I was waiting for you to come to the booth, I was listening to the first episode, just to kind of remind me of the flow of the episodes, because I haven't recorded one of these in about a month, and it was with my brother, and we were saying, like, I said, I think the reason that I'm doing this is because... I just distinctly remember TGIF sitting down with my family wanting to see what was going to happen in the life of Corey Matthews. So, like, this is kind of grabbing for that nostalgia that I had as a kid of watching TGIF and rewatching it now, you know, in my 30s instead of as a child. And I know the later seasons are definitely better written than these early episodes, but you gotta start somewhere. So we gotta start with season 1.
Sure. And you know, so what I'm hearing is that I'm on the best Boy Meets World podcast in the world.
Probably.
Yep.
We almost...
I wouldn't... You're not telling me I'm on like a mediocre Boy Meets World podcast.
No, we were the top. This is the top one. You're with one of the most knowledgeable Boy Meets World experts.
That's what I'm gathering from this. And now I'm so nervous now. My God.
Yeah, you know? This is like if I was on 7 of Wine and I'm like, I don't drink and I don't watch Star Trek Voyager, so I am totally out of my element here.
No, well, now we have to have you on 7 of Wine.
The sober guy with no understanding of what's happening, just sitting there like, well, the colors were pretty.
It takes place in space, I think.
So this episode starts off with Corey and his dad making sandwiches.
Yeah, and what's funny is that I was, like you, a huge TGIF person. Yeah. Like, that was just Friday night's rituals. Was a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos and TGIF. That was our ritual, me and my sister. And Boy Meets World was my favorite out of that block, for sure.
Yeah, I think, and it was the one that was around the most. All the other shows would, like, just come and go, but, like, Boy Meets World was just consistent.
Step by Step was on for a while, though.
Step by Step, I mean, there was, like, Step by Step and Full House and Family Matters, but I feel like the golden age, a lot of those shows were going away, while Boy Meets World just kind of, like...
It was the new blood.
It was the new blood. Yeah. It was the longest-lasting new blood. There were some really good short-lived shows. Muppets Tonight was really fun. Teen Angel was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. But they were making, when they were making sandwiches in this episode, the way it starts out, it like all came back to me, flooded back. I didn't think I would like remember Boy Meets World as much as I did. And then that first scene, I was like, oh my God, I remember this.
And I think that that's also why I do this show, is it's, you have, this is one of those shows that does just like pull it right out of you. You're just like, oh shit, I remember this.
Yep.
So I have a quote written down and I actually don't remember where it came from. Okay, I sucked a neck.
Yeah, okay, that's Will. How do you pronounce his name? Friedel? Friedel?
Yeah, Friedel. Yeah, Friedel. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Will Friedel. He's like on the phone. He's on the phone with his, I'm assuming a girl.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Will can talk to anybody.
Listen, yeah. And he's like advising them on how to hide a hickey. He's like, just wear a turtleneck or something. And his mom walks by and he looks at her and he's like, okay, so I sucked a neck.
Okay. So, because that's the only note that I have.
It's the only note that you have.
No. Let me follow through. It's the only note that I have that I don't understand the context.
Oh, that was it. And that was a funny moment because the mom is just so, like, dismissive about it. Like, oh, okay, sucks next. She just walks away.
This episode introduces us to one of my favorite first season characters, which is Leonard Spinelli.
Oh, God. I felt like I needed to be offended by him, and I didn't know why.
Yeah.
I was like, he's some kind of, like, stereotype.
Yeah, he's right? Something, but, like, he's almost like the, I almost feel like he's, like, the prototype for, like, Jim Parsons' character on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, I don't watch Big Bang Theory.
I don't either, but I know of Leonard from Big Bang, or not Leonard. What the hell's his name? I don't watch the show, but the guy who's clearly autistic on Big Bang Theory that everybody loves.
Beats me.
Yeah, big, tall, skinny guy. But, like, he definitely has that, like, some of the best lines. I like the second time that he shows up where he's like, Leonard, do you know what a manager does? He's like, you take care of the store. He's like, do you know what the assistant manager does? I tell the manager when there's something that needs to be taken care of at the store.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they introduce this character. The point of this episode is basically about a father-son dynamic.
Yeah.
And even in these early seasons, which are, like, a little cheesier and a little bit more kid-friendly, I feel like they tap into some really deep emotional
deep issues
of kid. Like,
yeah, I did not. I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of, as an adult now, when you're watching, you didn't quite appreciate as a kid. Like, how precocious Corey Matthews is.
Yeah.
He's super, and, like, his dialogue's not written as if it's a kid talking, and that's the charm of him, is he speaks like an adult. He has, like, an adult vocabulary. So it's a little bit, but he's got, like, he struggles with boyhood,
yeah,
right? Boyhood issues. So that's one of the things you pick up really fast is how deep the, you know, the dialogue is. But then, yeah, the theme that was explored in this one, like, I mean, I don't know how I haven't been on this podcast before. I don't know how you like to do things. Can I skip ahead?
We can talk about whatever.
All right. Can I curse?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, because Mr. Feeny, right, is childless.
Yeah.
Right? And Corey's dad obviously has a kid.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be Corey's dad. And the two of them, they provide the major contrast in this, right, over, like, a debate. So, yeah, it deals very, very much with the father-son dynamic and dredges up some of Mr. Feeny's more unpleasant memories of his boyhood. It gets too deep.
Yeah.
I'll say I got uncomfortably it got uncomfortably deep for a kid's show. Now as an adult, understanding, like, what they were exploring and stuff.
Yeah. I think that it's a really touching episode about a dad that's just trying to make time for his kid with his busy life. And, you know, saying that sentence, it sounds like that's a sentence that sounds like, you know, the father is avoiding the son, but it couldn't be less true. It's that life won't let him spend time with his boy. And that's so heartbreaking. And, you know,
and it's just normal life.
But
it's not like he's, you know.
Yeah, it's just work.
It's just work. It's not like he's like a cop,
yeah,
you know, who's, like, investigating a murder that's, like, all, like, consuming his life right now. It's like, regular shit that's happening at the store.
Yeah, I'm making time for my kid, and then something happens at the store, and we have to reschedule. And,
yep,
you know, how many times can we reschedule before my son stops loving me? And, like, that's, like, what it explores. It's crazy. And then what's weird, though, is that maybe it's because I don't like sports, and this is like those seasons where Corey's, like, a huge sports fan, and that just kind of gets, like, written out of the show in, like, in another year. But, like, I'm kind of on Feeney's side. He should still fail that test.
Yeah, absolutely.
He slept through the test. I don't care if he stayed up for father's son time.
Over sports. Exactly. Yeah, I was on Team Feeney.
Yeah.
from the beginning of this stupid debate. I was like, when Corey was like, when the wife, the mother, what's her name on this? I forgot.
I don't remember either parent's name, and I literally listened to the episode while walking here.
Yeah, when mom, like, tells, like, is rooting the father on and telling him that he should, you know, good luck going over next door and convincing Mr. Feeney to let your son take the test over again. I was like, no! That's bad parenting! That's a teachable moment. That's the moment that when you look at your son, you're like, son, we done fucked up.
Yeah, and he does say that later. He's like, it's like, I'm the one that let you down.
Yeah, like the two of us, we did something we shouldn't have. You failed a test. You don't just get to walk next door
and demand a different grade
from the teacher that lives next to you. This is a serious conflict of interest here for this child. The fact that, like, his teacher is their neighbor and they can just walk over there to whine whenever they want to. PTA meeting 24/7.
He would have moved at this point.
Yeah.
He'd been like, I'm done with this family.
Built a higher fence.
So I have another quote that I wrote down that that was one of the only other ones that made me laugh, which is a quick back and forth between Ryder Strong and Minkus.
Yeah.
Where they're kind of jabbing at each other in the classroom, and Ryder Strong, playing Sean, the coolest kid in the school, goes, suck up, and Minkus real quick goes, future plumber.
Future plumber. Oh, snap.
Fix a sink later on in the episode.
I don't know if I'm okay with occupation shaming. watching this, there's another moment in it where I'm also like, that wouldn't fly these days. It was where Corey's like making fun of his dad for potentially missing the demolition derby or whatever it is they're going to. No, it's like an air show.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he jokes that he's starting to get into ballet now as a result. And it has kind of strangely...
That's a very, like, 90s...
Yeah, it was strangely...
90s kids show joke.
Yeah, strangely. I don't know what that... What is the word for that? It's like the gender...
Like gender shaming or like
Or like even like slightly homophobic, you know? And I was like, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't know.
Which is so funny because then, like, the rest of the series, they just give Corey and Sean, like, this ridiculously over-the-top bromance.
Yeah, yes.
Like they're, like, the prototype of JD and Turk from Scrubs. Like, they're just...
Yes. Yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah.
But we touched on it briefly. I feel like the last thing that needs to be brought up is Feeney's speech.
Yeah. You know what? I really don't know if I'm cool with the fact that you decided to do this podcast in the middle of traffic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the element of adventure, Matt, but I just, you know.
I'm trying to discover myself in adventurous ways. So recording in the middle of a street with a fellow podcaster just seemed like the only way to up the show's quality.
I like it.
Yeah.
I've decided that I like it.
Okay,
it's thrilling.
I convinced you.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, this is edge of your seat podcasting.
will you run over?
You'll have to keep listening to find out.
Yeah.
Someone will release this for us. Feeney's speech about staying awake with his father is heartbreaking.
Wartime, right? Like he was in Europe. I'm assuming World War II is what he's referring to.
Yeah.
So already the backdrop, the premise of it is already heartbreaking. It's talking about his wartime poverty. Right?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't set in Europe.
Well, I mean, he's got that. I feel like, because he kept talking about that, did he say he wanted to hear Winston Churchill or he wanted to hear the president? Maybe he was in the United States for it.
Yeah, but he keeps referring to some kind of Polish factory or something. I don't know. My God, we obviously did not watch this episode as hard as we could have been watching it. We didn't watch hard. But
I couldn't hear what he was saying through my sobs.
Yes, but it was, the premise is heartbreaking in and of itself. It's like a little boy having to grow up in like a war-torn era.
And his dad just not wanting to have those memories with him.
Yeah, not realizing that he could have. Yeah, that it was a moment that they would never get back, and he was like, go back, go to bed, kid.
Yeah.
It's a school night.
And it reveals a lot about him. Like, it's one of those moments that I feel like... It's one of the first times where I feel like they shine a light on Mr. Feeney as more than just the grouchy next-door neighbor slash teacher. It's like you see a real element of humanity in there. And I remember hearing an interview with the actor who played Mr. Feeney. Mm-hmm. And he said that when they came to him with the character, he said, I'll only do this character if he's not the butt of a joke that's depicted as a mean person, because I have a ton of respect for teachers.
Yeah.
And the creator said, no, our intention is to literally make this man the most important person in every kid's life.
Like, he's a paragon of what you want a teacher to be.
Yeah.
Which is very rare. He's like the Captain Picard of teachers, yeah. Elementary school teachers.
Tying it back to Seven of Wine a little bit. Just a bit. Not quite Voyager, but you're there.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I think that that's one of those things that you walk away from, and I'm going to play the audio clip from that. I try to make sure that we play the big Feeny speeches on each episode where they happen, because, you know, you walk away from Boy Meets World, and when you reflect back on it, you remember a lot of the funny, like, Eric or Corey quotes.
Yeah.
But as you get older, I feel like I see more people referencing really deep, introspective things that Feeny has said on Facebook.
That's how you know you're getting older, is when you identify with Feeny.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to be Corey. He's a cool kid. And then you're like, yeah, man, that Mr. Feeny.
That Mr. Feeny, he's a good guy.
He knows what he's talking about. That Mr. Feeny.
So, real quick before we wrap up, these episodes are fairly short. We keep them about 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, about the same length
of an episode of Boy Meets World.
Oh, geez.
But what are some of your... We touched on a little bit with your Cheetos, but... Yeah. You know, what is your memories with Boy Meets World? Was this a show that you recall just like you couldn't miss the new episode and wanting to see Corey and Topanga's relationship? Because right now, episode 3 is still no Topanga.
Yeah, no Topanga. Oh my God, you're right. She wasn't Topanga, the Winnie Cooper of our generation.
Yeah.
Really. Right? Like, these days, I have conversations with people, with guys, where I'm like, do you remember Boy Meets World? They're like, yeah. I'm like, do you remember Topanga? They're like, yeah. Yeah, I remember Topanga. I'm like, she was like 12, you asshole. But my favorite, you know what's funny? At the time that I was growing up with Boy Meets World, I was starting to become a woman. Like, I mean, right on the cusp of becoming a woman. Like, I'm like, you know, my late... Like, you know what? What was the year that this episode aired?
This was 93.
93, so I was 10.
Yeah.
So I was just about ready to enter adolescence. So watching Boy Meets World, it really took me through all my hormonal stages, and I remember the most... This is going to sound... We just went from, like, a really deep Feeny conversation to,
really
like...
really deep Jenny...
No. So, like, really superficial thing, but one of the things that kept me watching was, like, how I had a crush on Ryder Strong's character, Sean, right?
Because
he was, like, a quintessential bad boy, and he was the rebel. So I had such a huge crush on him. And at some point, I switched and started having a crush on Eric.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, because he's, like, you know, he's also kind of, like, a bad boy, like, you know, loose cannon, big brother guy. And then and then Matthew Lawrence entered the picture, and then I had a crush on Matthew Lawrence. So that's what I remember most of Boy Meets World.
Just following the levels of hotness throughout the series.
It just provided so much fantasy material for my fledgling, for a little girl discovering her sexuality. Was that the answer you expected?
Not really, but I'm glad it's on tape.
It kept me watching. Kept me watching through every season.
So, Seven of Wine.
Okay.
Let's talk about Seven of Wine.
Sure.
Where did you and Jacqueline come up with this idea? Because as I've been handing out these sleep masks to people, and I explain the premise, the most common phrase I hear is, oh my God, that's my life.
Just wine and Voyager?
Just getting drunk on wine and watching Star Trek.
I don't know if that's sad or awesome. It's, you know, a complicated... Well, it's a really funny story. And I hope Jackie doesn't mind me telling it this way, but, you know, Jackie is an actress, you know, and a wonderful human being, and an introspective person. She's not at all like an actress who's, you know, like, I'm going to be famous, and just, like, kind of pitches herself headlong into that. Like, she's constantly thinking about herself, and she went through, not thinking about herself, thinking about her career, you know what I mean? She went through a phase about a year and a half ago where she really started questioning, like, am I good enough? Can I keep doing this? You know, how can I improve? And it was really getting her down in a really, profound way. She was really starting to, like, approach crisis mode with, like, her identity as an actress, I believe. If she'll, you know, if I can summarize from an outside observer. I had been encouraging her for months on end to watch Voyager. But the thing is, every Star Trek fan you ever meet is going to tell you to watch Star Trek, right? You just start drowning them out.
Yeah.
And she'd never been a Trekkie, never watched a single episode of anything Star Trek ever, didn't care about the universe. But I kept telling her, you need to watch Star Trek Voyager in particular because it's got so many strong female characters, right? Seven of Nine, B'Elanna Torres... You know, I'm not going to say Kes because I didn't think Kes was a very good character at all. But Janeway, of course.
Yeah.
And I kept encouraging her to watch it. She finally reached that point where she was questioning so much in her life that she broke down and watched an episode. She's like, sure, why the heck not? And got hooked instantly, right?
Yeah.
She found so much inspiration in, like, the female characters on that show. And I remember the day she messaged me. Over Facebook, she went, hey, Jen, so this Star Trek Voyager, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, right? And it was kind of, you know, like a renaissance for her. It, like, galvanized her to, like, really take her career by the balls. And she's doing great now. Like, she got cast in, like, Yeah, I think it was like either a Nike or like a Reebok. No, it was a Gatorade commercial.
Okay.
Immediately after, and she booked like two major stage plays. She's going to be in a production of Mamma Mia that's at the Hollywood Bowl.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it was, she had gone through this slump, and then she watched Voyager, and then she like bootstrapped herself into like kick acidness. So she's like gleaning all this positivity from watching Voyager. She decides to throw a wine party where she gets a bunch of her friends together to watch Voyager, you know. And I'm sitting back, I'm like, man, I just planted a seed, but holy crap, is she growing this into a forest? Like, she's growing this until it's like Fern Gully up in here. Right?
Except without Tim Curry.
Yeah, exactly. So she threw a wine party, and we kicked around ideas for what to call it. And it was one of our friends, actually, I believe. I can't remember which friend, who was like, you should call it like Seven of Wine. So yeah. I wish I could remember which friend came up with it. Anyway, it was an epic party. She had a ton of people who had never watched Star Trek Voyager over. She'd created like this little playlist of like, you know, best of episodes that she wanted everyone to watch. And we all got sloshed online like crazy. Everyone had like too deep of an appreciation of Star Trek Voyager after this party was over. And then she approached me later. She was like, hey, I'm thinking starting this Star Trek Voyager podcast. And what do you think? And would you co-host? And I was like, yeah, I'm on board. Whatever.
Very
I like
cool.
Star Trek Voyager. So in short, I introduced her to Star Trek Voyager, and then she turned it into this empire. podcasting empire.
It keeps growing. It's part of why I wanted to do the Boy Meets World one, was listening to Seven of Wine and being like, I like that idea. Like, mine was a little bit more, we're going to watch the episodes in order of release, where yours kind of jumps around throughout the series. But it was a big influence on, like, the, you know, we could use more, like, very show-specific podcasts.
Yeah, and ones that revisit, you know, they don't all just have to be, like, the new season of Bachelor or, like, the latest Game of Thrones episode. But there's a pantheon of great shows from our childhood that bear re-watching, you know, reanalyzing.
Yeah, so introspectively seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
as adults.
All right, well, where can people check out the show?
Well, they can, funnily enough, they can watch or they can listen to Seven of Wine on the Geekscape Network, the same network that they can catch your podcast. Ah, what a coinkydink.
I know. It's almost like that's how we know each other.
Yeah, but the easiest way to do it, to get to all the places where you can listen to it, is 7ofwine.com.
Very cool.
Yep, but watch it from the, I mean, listen to it from the Geekscape page, though, because Jonathan London will kill me if I don't say that.
All right, thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you. This is a pleasure.